Praise God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Good things are happening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. It's a beautiful 85 degree day in February. Thank God for the weather. Thank God for Texas. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for Jesus the healer. He heals. He's good. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have a great rest of the day. That was good. Like those songs. Right now, Danny's going to come and receive the offering. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you and we praise you today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are going to turn to Genesis 4. I'm going to turn a couple of places. Genesis 4, and I'm actually going to read it out of the Passion Translation. But Paisley, my youngest girl, she's 10, and she is required per semester to learn a set of scriptures. And this last semester, she was required to learn Hebrews 11, 1 through 13. And there was a scripture that really popped out to me. We read Hebrews 11 all the time, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I was like, oh, I can help you with the first three, no problem. Like, we got this. But it was verse 4 that really stood out to me. And it said that God spoke well of his offering. So, what does it take for God to speak well of your offering? What does it mean when God speaks well of your offering? Don't you want it to be said that God spoke well of your offering? And so as I'm thinking with the Lord, I thought, okay, well, I can think of a few that God spoke well of their offering. The woman who gave the two mites, right? God spoke well of her offering. The Cornelius, God spoke well of his offering. He was a Gentile man who was still generous to the poor, still gave unto God, still believed God. So what does it take for God to speak well of your offering? It takes faith. It takes faith for God to speak well of your offering. It's quick for us to say, okay, I know what a tithe is. A tithe is 10%. But is there any faith involved when you're giving your tithe? Is there any faith involved when you're giving your offering? Because the law had a place where we give 10%. Cut, dry, do it because it's legalistic. But God has called us to be people of faith. So when we give, are we doing it because we have to, or are we applying faith to what we're doing? And so let's go ahead and read that story. I didn't bring my Genesis Passion, so forgive me. I'm going to read off my phone here. But it's Genesis 4:1 says, now Adam had been with his wife. I changed a word, but Adam had been with his wife and she conceived and bore a son named Cain. She said, by the grace of Yahweh, I have birthed a man. Then later she gave birth to Cain's brother Abel. Abel grew up to be a shepherd and Cain became a farmer working the ground. After some time, Cain presented an offering to Yahweh from the produce of the land. Abel also brought his offering from among the finest of the firstborn of his flocks. Yahweh was very pleased with Abel and accepted his offering. But with Cain and his offering, Yahweh was not pleased, making Cain very furious and resentful. So Yahweh said to Cain, why are you so angry and bothered? If you offer what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you refuse to offer what is right, sin is the predator is crouching in wait outside the door of your heart. It desires to have you, yet you must be its master. Well, what was the difference? Some people would try to tell you that it's because that Abel brought a sheep and Cain brought crops, but that has nothing to do with it. If you go back and look at the terminology used there, you can see that Abel brought the first, the best, and the finest. It says that Cain brought after, with time he came. It said after a period of time. Well, what is that period of time? It means what was left. How many of you have ever opened a bag of chips? And you open the top of the chips and man, those things are crisp, they're big, they're perfect for dipping, right? But what happens when you get to the bottom? There's crumbs. It's really hard to dip a crumb chip, okay? I don't know if you've ever tried. I've tried. It's like, okay, I'll just lick the queso off my fingers and, right? Queso, anyone? Hope you're not fasting queso. It's the last day. Praise the Lord. But he gave him the bottom of the bag. Brother Copeland uses the word the nubbins. He gave him the nubbins of what was left. The little bits that were left. He said, I'll bring that to God. But Abel said, my first, my finest, my fattest, the best one, I'm coming first to God. Why? Because he knew that this wasn't the fattest, finest, first lamb he would ever have because his faith was in God, not in that, what that offering could do for him. You see, Cain put his trust in what the crops could do for him and then brought what was left to God. First and best to him. Number two, he had a heart that was right. He had a heart that was right. Abel said, Lord, I believe in you. How do we know that? Because Hebrews 11:4 tells us, faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice to offer God than his brother Cain. God considered this faith that moved him to give for him to be righteous. Now, let me tell you, I'm not telling you your offering is going to make you righteous. Jesus made you righteous, okay? That offering made you righteous. I'm not preaching that your offering is what's going to make you righteous. I'm saying his motive was faith. His heart was turned towards God, and he said, I want to give you something that means something to me, and it means something to you. A heart of thankfulness, honor, and adoration. He came to God with a right heart. Amen? Give because you know who your source is. You know the blesser. Amen? Number three, he came with his offering as an act of worship. They call worship a sacrifice of praise. It is an offering to God. It cost you something. I'm not saying that every time you come, you have to give all that you have. No, but it cost you something. You go and spend time with God. You seek him. What is he asking me to give? What is he asking me to partake with him in? The woman who gave two mites, it wasn't because it was an outstanding amount. Cornelius, it wasn't because necessarily it was his heart was right of where God told him to give. Have you ever had a gift where you knew someone took time and thought about you before they got it? And have you ever had a gift where you said, man, they stopped at the store on the way here? How are you giving to God? Are you taking any time to really think about the meaning of what you're giving to him? Are you really taking the time? One Mother's Day, Jordan went online searching for, I wanted an Amplified Classic Bible so bad. Like the guy who wants Adventure from Kelly Copeland. I wanted it so bad. And they were out of print. They're not anymore. KCM now sells them. So if you need an Amplified Classic Bible, please go to kcm.org in their store and they will have one online for you. There was my little plug. they're not paying me, but they didn't have them anywhere. They were completely out of print, which is why Kenneth Copeland Ministries put them back in. And so I was looking everywhere. And that Mother's Day, Jordan went online and found one that cost more than it probably should have, got it for me, brought it to my house, and had it as a surprise. I had no idea that I was getting it. He came that same day with me to go get my toes done. He came that same day with some jewelry for me, and I had no idea because the truth was we didn't have the money to get all of those things. But he had a meaningful purpose to make sure that I felt blessed by what he was doing. When you come to God, have something meaningful. Have something meaningful. Take your time. Don't just drop something in the bucket and say, all right, there's my leftover, there's my nubbins. I'm going to have to give again this Sunday. They're asking for more money. No, go to God. Go to God. And say, I have the opportunity because you are my source. You're the one who blessed me. I want to do something meaningful for you. And as was said several times through the offering service, you are the Lord of my life and I trust you. Amen. So we have an opportunity to give today. Father, I thank you that every person here hears your heart. They hear the heart of this word, Father, and they come to you with a meaningful gift, a gift where they have placed their heart on the inside of it. And Father, you have offered to us great and precious promises as being as sowers. Father, you said that you would give us the seed. So if anyone finds themselves in a place where they don't have seed to sow, Father, you said you would provide the seed to them. So I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that now, that you give them the seed to sow, Father, that they receive abundantly in the name of Jesus over the tithe. We thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open. The blessing is working. The devourer is rebuked and nations call Victory Church blessed. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you would like to give brothers a few and sisters, brothers, if you would receive and if you would like to give by text message, you can text VCHL to 73256. Click the link and it will prompt you through the link there. You can also go online to our website and go to the Give tab and it'll give you some instructions to go there. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Notice that that was Cain and Abel tithing. That's before the law. Abraham tithed before the law. The tithe started in the garden. The tithe is still good. It's still God's. And whereas it as we don't look at it legalistically, we do look at it respectfully. You know, Danny, this is so cool. I was thinking about you using Hebrews there, where you talked about, said, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He obtained the witness that he was righteous. Did you know, remember the scripture that says, it's Matthew 6, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what that word righteousness is? It's tzedakah. It's giving. It's about giving. Righteousness and giving, they share a place. Right relationship and giving share a spot in the same word. Wow. When you go and look it up. So actually, when you're seeking the kingdom of God, it's actually saying, seek the kingdom of God and be a giver. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it's saying. Giving is a big deal. Tithing is a big deal. And, when Achan kept the dedicated thing, the curse was present. And so we're so blessed that Jesus took the curse. Amen. Let's go to Galatians 3:10. We're going to talk about that. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:10. We're going to start a series today. We've been kind of skipping around, but we're going to start a series that we're going to work on from here until Resurrection Day. Praise the Lord. And I believe we're going to be blessed. Amen. Galatians 3:10. Are you there?
Glory.
For as many as are of the works of the law and under are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the Spirit of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So you have your choice. You could live under the law, you can live under religious laws, or you can live by faith. You've got your choice. Even today, as Christians, we have our choice. You can either be legalistic or you can live by faith. Now, so verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You got that?
Yes.
Okay. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing, you got to have those two together, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Christ redeemed you from the curse. So that the blessing, the empowerment to prosper in every way in your life, could come upon you. The Jews were given the law because they thought they could keep it. It's interesting. They didn't want to have anything to do with God. They were sort of afraid of him. Remember Moses came down beaming and they had to put something over his face and God was all powerful and they were like, we don't know. Just tell him to tell us what to do and then we'll do it. Y'all get that, don't you, that that's what was going on? And so Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and said, well, here, this is what God told you to do. Later on, there were 613 laws that came forth. But God knew that they couldn't keep it. Yeah. And so he built what we call the sacrificial system. And yearly, they would have a scapegoat. They would give offerings. They would have burnt offerings. They would kill things to represent take the death away from a person, because the wages of sin is death.
Right. Yeah.
Well, God knew that the wages were coming, so he built a system for them so that they would be all right until the time of Messiah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And so we see the Passover lamb, right?
Yeah, right.
We see how the Passover worked there and just all that was involved in that. There's a system. So God gave everyone an option. You have an option. You have a free will. It's your choice how you want to live. Life is choice driven. And remember, as we learned Wednesday night, your choice today is not isolated. It will affect your tomorrow. Amen. And so we see over in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed. So it's not just about you, it's about your children. So that you and your children, amen, should live. Now, we know this. Most of us know this. If you're new, you'll pick it up. But Deuteronomy 28 is about the blessing and the cursing. First, he lists all the blessing, and every time we meet, we say part of that. We're the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. And we say all those things. That's coming out of Deuteronomy 28, right? So the first part is about the blessing. The second part in Deuteronomy 28 is about the curse. Now, in my Bible, I wrote, when it started the curse part, I wrote this over it. I'm redeemed from this. Because I've been redeemed from the curse. Not by anything I did, what Jesus did. Amen. And so, but you do have a choice, even as a Christian, even though you're redeemed, you're not going to hell, but you could live like hell. Can I say it like that? And I'm not trying to cuss. I'm just trying to say, if you make the wrong choices, then the lie of the curse could get close to you. You could still get muddy if you played in the mud. And now, but the truth is that who you are is you're blessed. You're not cursed. That's the truth about you. You are the righteousness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but we have a choice. But listen, we have a different choice. They had to choose to obey. We choose Jesus. We choose Jesus. And when you choose Jesus, Christ has redeemed you from the curse. Okay? So it doesn't mean, like I said, that you couldn't get involved with some things, but bottom line, choose Jesus. Bottom line, choose Jesus. So because he redeemed us, he kept the law, he kept it. He didn't sin. He kept the law, and he paid for all who couldn't keep the law, and then he took the curse on him on the cross, and that's what we deserved, but he took it. Okay. Now, so Jesus paid. Listen, Jesus paid for all of your sins. What you did in the past and what you'll do in the future. Jesus paid for all of it. I don't recommend misusing that because it could produce something you don't want it to produce. But the truth is Jesus paid for them all. Amen. Every sin. And we decide whether or not we're going to participate in that redemption. And of course, if you're sitting here today born again, you decided that you would participate in the redemption, not by your works, by your faith and what you've chosen. Amen. So Jesus paid, so you don't have to be cursed. So here's the question. What is redemption? What is it? Well, there's four words for redemption, but because I don't want to settle up here too long, I'm just going to give you a phrase to cover all four. I'm going to put them together. Jesus came to the slave market, and you were being held captive in the slave market. Satan had you. He permanently removed you from Satan's power. He was willing to pay a high price for you, and he restored you back as a son of God. He came and he found that you were imprisoned. He saw you were being held captive. He removed you from that power. He was willing to pay a high price because you're worth it to him. And he restored you as a son of God. That's what redemption means. So that's what it's all about. So here's the deal. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, if you confessed him as Lord and Savior, if you believe God raised him from the dead and you say so, you're redeemed from the curse forever. Amen. So everything that tries to come or looks like the curse is just the lie of the curse because you are not cursed. Like I said, it can affect you.
Yeah. Come on.
It can affect you, as we know, because, you know, many of us in some time in our life went on the wrong trail and it didn't produce anything good. But you still need to know who you are, because the more you know who you are, the more you won't go out on the wrong trail. And that's why we meet together every week. Not to say, don't be bad, don't be bad, don't be bad, but to say, hey, this is who you are, and you have the power to act like this. We do what's right, do it right because it's right. And that begins to take over your life. You get closer to God. You begin to have the nature of God. You begin to flow more like him because you are his and you are blessed. Does that make sense to you? So we're not talking religion here. We're talking about sonship here. Amen. It's so important that you see the difference. God is not changing his mind about you. Well, you did good today, so now I love you today, but you do bad tomorrow. No, he loves you, period. Amen. He just loves you. The reason why you pay when you take the wrong path is because you're moving away from what belongs to you in your thinking. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is not my sermon, but praise the Lord, I guess somebody needed to hear it. Glory to God. Anyway, praise the Lord. So, well, you know, I'm telling you, you are blessed and not cursed. Believe that. And you might say today, now here's your answer right here. You might say today, well, Pastor, I really believe that I am under the blessing, but I'm still suffering. Well, evidently you don't believe it. Evidently, you're just in mental assent. You know that it's true. You know what I'm telling you is true, but you haven't exactly swallowed that it's true. There's other things that continue to get in your way, like condemnation, religious condemnation, or just some kind of error that you've believed in. But actually, if you'll use your faith, and it's a choice, believing is a choice, and you say, you know what? I choose to believe. I'm the righteousness of God, and I am in the blessing. The blessing has come on me, and the curse has been removed. Then it should start working for you. Amen. Faith is not coming into your brain. It's not coming into your brain. Now, your brain will receive. Your mind can be transformed. But faith comes into your heart. Your heart's the believer. So therefore you have to get it coming through your spirit first. Y'all get this stuff. Amen. All right. So as when you try to get it through your flesh that, and follow rules that you get messed up. Nothing wrong with rules, but following them after your flesh can just make you what? Self-righteous. Okay, now Titus 3:5 says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Yeah. So it's not by all of our good deeds, it's by Jesus's mercy that we are all here today and we are saved. So our goal in life is not to, now listen to me, make sure you get this, and some of you may be newer and you need to hear this. Our goal in life is not to fight for our deliverance. It's not to fight for our deliverance, rather to freely accept our deliverance, which has already been procured for us. In fact, the scripture commands that we cease from our own works and to enter into the rest, Hebrews 4:11. Amen. Where we may enjoy the wonderful provision that God has made available on our behalf. So you're to cease from your own works. So you're not trying to fight for the answer and get the answer. You are doing this. You're fighting the good fight of faith. You fight the fight of faith. That's good. The battle is the Lord's. Church, just remember this. You cannot process victory and defeat at the same time.
Oh, that's good.
You can't process them at the same time. You're going to have to move one out of the way.
Yeah.
Amen. You can't process both of them. Christ has redeemed you from the curse and now the blessing can flow. So in your life now, you don't fight the symptoms. You don't fight the circumstances. The battle is the Lord's. You fight the good fight of faith. So if you're not believing, if you're falling short of that, if you're not seeing results, don't try to fight the symptom. Don't try to fight the situation. Fight the negative stuff. Fight the good fight of faith. In other words, feed your spirit so much.
Yeah.
Talk the right thing so much.
That's
you overcome.
That's right.
And then you'll see the breakthrough. What are you doing? You're getting your receiver open. You're getting your receiver open to do what it needs to do. Now, so listen, you have the Zoe life in you, of God. It's in you. It's the abundant life. You have power. You have authority. Boldly use it. It's yours. Now, let's begin to talk about our redemption on a deeper way. As we're heading into our Resurrection Day season here. I don't particularly care to say Easter. I like Resurrection Day. But you can call it what you want to, but I prefer it gets the message over better. Now, so we've established already, just by talking about who we are and what Jesus has done, that he paid our way out of slavery, right? Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what did he pay with? What did Jesus pay with to redeem you? Deb and I went to Lupi Tortilla yesterday. Yeah. And it was still on the fast. We ate on the fast. We're committed. We're staying on it till it's done. Somebody said, it's over today. At 12:01 tonight, I'm going to drink a Dr. Pepper. No. Surely you've gained some strength now. Okay. So, I'll mind my own business. All right. So, but what did, now when we went in there, now Deb and I take turns paying, so we don't have to do the pay. So it was Deb's turn, which is good because Lupe tortilla is a high dollar. So I was like, yes. We can go to Chick-fil-A tomorrow. And it, no, I'm just kidding. But Deb paid. What did she pay with? A card. She paid for it. Jesus paid for it. He redeemed. He bought you out. He said, see that girl right there? I'm buying her out. She's not going to have anything to do with the enemy. I bought her out. I paid. What did he pay with? Well, 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like Deb's card. No, just kidding. Like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. He redeemed you. Woo. I just got a jolt right there. He redeemed you by his precious blood, with his precious blood. Amen. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. Just like that thing Danny was talking about, that lamb was without blemish. That was a sign right there of what was to come. That's a shadow right there. Amen. So, but with the precious blood of Christ. So you were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And we have some understanding of the blood. We receive communion and we understand that. We'll all say this. We know the blood was poured out for us and we know some basic things about it. And you know, when you look a little closer, you're like, well, you know, why the blood? Why did God pick the blood? And we could start with Eden and we can go through to the tabernacle and we can see the blood sacrifice and Adam and Eve's clothes. That was the first time an animal was killed and the blood was spilled. Church, that was precious to God to do that. You know, the Native Americans, when they, and people that are close around me have real respect for when, say, like if you kill a deer or something, respectful of how you take care of that deer after you, you know, need to do what you need to do with them. I'll just say it that way. But there's a respect to it, right? There's a respect to it. And they even say, we thank you for, they thank the animal for getting the meat and stuff. I think that's kind of cool. But we basically more thank Jesus for it. Amen. But there's a respect to it. And so God took the animal's life to clothe Adam and Eve. And so we see blood spilt all the way from the beginning. And then what about Abraham? God spilt blood to do the covenant. Abraham spilt blood in circumcision. The Jews still do that. Well, most boy children still do that. Amen. And so it's always been about the blood of the lamb. It's always been the Passover lamb. We know all about that. That's how they got out of Egypt alive. But why the blood? We need to understand the importance of Jesus' blood. And we find that just blood period, we understand about the blood is in Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you on the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's where the life is. The life is in your blood. You're alive because of your blood. Get it? You're alive because of your blood. The only life flesh has, I know I'm being redundant, it's in the blood. Once you get, you know, in case you're thinking of something else, get with me. If you get cut seriously and you bleed out, you will go to heaven. You can't live without your blood. Blood is it's a very unique substance. It's not like the other fluids in your body. you know, like your tears or other chemical substances that you have. It's not like them. Your blood is more than that. Blood is actually a living tissue flowing through you. Your blood supply gets cut off, your flesh will die. They used to take a little rubber band things and put them on lamb tails. And when they stopped the blood flowing up into the longer tail, the tail would fall off, right? Yeah. Why? No blood flow. Nothing there. The life is in the blood. Blood travels from the heart through the arteries into the capillaries and back through the veins into the heart every 23 seconds. Wow. Every 23 seconds. It takes 23 seconds for 4 to 5 quarts of blood in your system to make a complete cycle. Wow. Wow. So if a main artery is severed, you could bleed out in 23 seconds. That's how fast it's moving through your body. The life is in the blood. Now, what did God breathe into Adam? What did he do? What? Life. That's right. Where is life? In the blood. Okay. So, James says God is the Father of light. And light is life. So the blood has life and it has light.
Yes.
It's got some glory in it. Yes. Amen. Now, Adam had a spark of light. His blood was charged with it. Look, let's pretend like this. Pretend like you're on this side with God and here's this dirt man that you just made. You made a mud pie and you formed him out of the dust of the ground. You made him, okay? And then here he is, but there's no life in him yet. Here he is. And you're thinking to yourself, here's this one. Now, I'm a spirit, God said, I'm a spirit. He's a spirit, but I'm putting him in this earth suit because he's going to work on earth. So there, yeah. Earth is connected to him. So he's got to be a little bit different. So what are we going to do here? He's in the likeness of us. But we're going to have to put life into him. And since he's dirt and water, we'll give him liquid life. Okay. So he had liquid life poured into him and you still have it today. Okay. That helped me to think about it that way. That he gave you this liquid life that's going around. So there's a little fire in all of us.
Yeah.
Amen. Right now. So Adam's blood, though, became polluted because he sinned, right?
Yeah.
Now, so that's when the curse came. The good news is Jesus' blood is not polluted.
Yeah.
And so you have traded off Adam's death for Jesus' life, which is in the blood. So Jesus' blood is not corrupted. It's never seen darkness. He came from God. Okay. So Jesus' blood has everlasting life in it. It can't die. Okay. So it has Zoe life. So Jesus spilled his blood. What happened to it? Well, it didn't just fall on the ground and then the liquid part evaporate and it was gone. Can't be, because he had God's, which Adam would have had that. He had God's life in it. So when it was spilled, it broke out into the atmosphere.
Glory to God.
Got that?
Yeah.
It came out into the atmosphere. So it stayed in the realm of the spirit. Well, Deb likes it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So it paid the price then because it was spilt.
Amen.
And death came to Jesus.
Yeah.
But then now it's out and it's offered to us.
Yeah.
Okay. He paid with his life. We don't have to pay. Death has lost its sting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, but then the blood didn't disappear. Some of it's in the throne room today.
Yeah.
But it's also when his body was torn, just like the veil was torn, when the veil of the flesh was torn, the Spirit of God could move and flow into the earth. Praise the Lord. He got out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now by his stripes you were healed. Am I right? Does the scripture say that? Well, how does that work then? Well, a cat of nine tail. Everybody knows what that is. The thing Jesus was whipped with. It had bone and glass and metal embedded in it. He wasn't just whipped with one of those little bull whips. This thing was horrible. When it gouged into the skin, it ripped it down and opened way down in. Okay? It's serious. Now, listen, Jesus could have wiped out that guy with one word. All he had to say is, I am, and the guy that was beating him would have fell on the ground, but he held his tongue because he took the beating. I mean, he could have done it with a whisper. He'd have been gone. But he allowed his back to be ripped open. And with every cruel blow, his blood spurted out, and life evaporated into the earth. The life of God was diffused into the earth from heaven. God sent his life to the earth, bottled up in the body of Jesus like a vial of smelling salts, which when broken, pours into the air. Okay? Broken open and...
Wow.
Everywhere. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Jesus' heart probably was racing about 200 beats per minute. He spent over 6 hours, as you know, with his back open while his heart was pumping life out of him. And so just squeezing out that life-giving blood. About 200,000 beats from the time he was beaten. His heart beat probably 200,000 times, blood flowing out. So, life is back in the earth. Now, this is what is important here. Along with all the corpuscles, the red blood corpuscles, the hemoglobin, and everything else that's in the blood, there is an invisible clean substance which flows from the throne of God coming out of Jesus. I'll give you the scripture, Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Of the Lamb and of the Lamb. So this was life-giving fluid flowing out, hitting the air, changing things for us. The river of life was in the veins and it poured out into this world. Now, that breath vaporized into this world and it's available to all who believe in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when you receive the name of, when you receive Jesus, what are you going to do? You're going to breathe in. And in spiritually, this is what you said. I receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. That's you breathing into your spirit. And you received the gift of the blood of Jesus. That's why we sing those songs that says his blood flows through my veins. What are we saying? We're talking about the fact that we received the life river. The river of life is in us. It's in our spirit. It's flowing around in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're lit up now. Praise God. So, now you know why 1 Peter 2:24 works. Because those wounds on the body of Jesus were the little channels, the little fountains of eternal life that God opened for you. They're open for you. The veil into the heavenlies was rent by Jesus' torn flesh. It does not work simply because he was wounded. No, that's part of it. But it doesn't work just because he was wounded. It works because out of 350 lacerations, hundreds of thousands of blood vessels were opened, and that pure divine life flowed out of Jesus into humanity. Just real simple. If you're someone struggling, the spirit part of that blood came out to you. The spirit part of it came out to you. There's the life part of the blood. The life part of the blood isn't just that you got some liquid, red liquid in you that's getting your cells done. That's part of it. There's life in that blood in every person, not just Christians. But when the Christians get it, you get pumped up to a new level. Amen. But that life of God came in you.
Yes. That's right.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. It's the spirit part of you. Okay. So, do you know why pleading the blood works? When we're pleading the blood, we are not saying, oh, I plead the blood because, you know, help me, help me, help me. No, pleading the blood is like going to court.
Yeah.
What's your plea? What are you saying? Are you guilty? Are you not guilty? What's your plea? See? Well, that when you plead the blood for your case, God's life is light. And this is something y'all hear me preach all the time. Light always overpowers darkness. So when you plead the blood and state your case, that light overpowers the darkness. You know, strike a match and darkness leaves. Did you see the moon come up last night? It was bright all night long. I walked outside at 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't need a light. It's just, you can see everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. The light and the life of God comes in and takes away everything. Not to mention on this side, the fact that he even spilt it. Is that a word? Where's the English teacher? Spilt a word? Okay. All right. So, he spilled his blood for you. When you plead the blood, when you use the blood there in that situation, it's settled with the judge. I told y'all before, the old Boy Scout leader died, went to heaven, and they said, why do you think you should be in heaven? And he said, well, I was a Boy Scout leader, so I did good for all those years. They said, sorry, that's not the answer. And then here came Sister Dry Dust, and she said, well, I was a Sunday school teacher for 42 years, and I played the piano every Sunday. And they said, well, you know, that's not how you get into heaven. And then here came this hippie chick who'd, you know, been pretty loose and everything, but she did know Jesus, and she walked up and said, I plead the blood, and she went on into heaven. Because that's your answer. It's the blood of Jesus. It's what Jesus has done. It's what Jesus has done. It's what Jesus has done. It's what his blood has done. His blood right now heals you. His blood redeemed you. You're paid for. Your new house is paid for. Your body's paid for. Your ministry's paid for. Your children are paid for. Your pass into heaven is totally paid for. Jesus redeemed you by his blood. Right down to your little finger hurting. If your finger hurts, Jesus paid for that. Every joint, every bone, everything. Kidneys are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Diabetes can leave. Clogged arteries can leave. That's a good one because the blood flows through your veins.
Yes. Glory.
It's scientific and it's spiritual.
Yep.
It is.
It is.
So you can be like John G. Lake. Just release that spirit part out into your body and the light and the life will hit your body and you'll be healed.
Glory.
That's how it works. By his stripes, you were already healed. It's already done. Don't pay so much attention to the symptom. Pay attention to what the blood did. Plead the blood. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's how they overcame. They said, by the blood of Jesus. The blood is so precious to the Father, church. It's so precious that his Son came and spilt his life life for the church of the living God. Yeah. And it's precious to him. Yeah. When you plead the blood, he lights up immediately. He says, you got to pass. Amen. That's how it works.
Amen.
Well, it can't be that easy. Yeah. It's exactly that easy. Yeah. Because Jesus paid.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is right.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God. We're redeemed by the blood. We've overcome by the blood. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Look at somebody and say, I'm redeemed. Look at somebody else and say, I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from the curse. It doesn't have any authority over me. Doesn't have any.
None.
No authority whatsoever, Nina. I'm redeemed.
That's right.
I'm redeemed. Well, what about when we've been bad? I'm still redeemed. Go to the Father and get back into the fellowship.
That's right.
Go back to him and say, hey, I messed up. I am the righteousness of God, though. Thank you, Lord. Y'all get this stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for this life-giving blood that you released into this earth. And we receive that power of the blood every day of our lives. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood. When you make much of the blood, the glory comes. I've seen it over the years. You make much of the blood. You start praising God for the blood. You talk about the blood. You sing about the blood. The glory will come. Because God holds a special place for the blood. He's blessed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You receive this today? We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus that is and was filled with your power and your life and this fountain that's flowing. That flowed from Emmanuel's veins. We thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for the fountain in Jesus' name. We thank you for the blood. And Father, we do plead the blood. We say, Lord, we come to the courts of heaven and we command a crop failure over every evil thing we've said and done and judged and gossiped and smarted off and whatever crime or anything else. We now come and we plead the blood and any words in Jesus' name. Any time that we have the devil could accuse us of anything, we come and we plead the blood and we clean the slate in the courts of heaven. We thank you that Jesus is our mediator. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I'm going to close right here, but I want you to look with me over to Hebrews 12. The Lord keeps pulling on me to read this to you. And this is where we'll pick up next week. Hebrews 12. We work with heaven, church. We work with heaven. And people have totally missed this over the years. But if you look here, you'll see, start with verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and of the sound of the trumpet and of the voice of words, which voice they heard and treated that the words should not be spoken to them. Remember we talked about that earlier? They didn't want to hear that voice. It was loud and it was something. And this is Mount Sinai he's talking about right here. You haven't come to that mountain. You haven't come there. They could not endure what he commanded. That's what it says right here. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it would be stoned and thrust. So it was so holy. It was so holy. That's why they said, just give us the commandments and we'll do our best. Everything was so holy because God's presence was so strong. But then you, the church, this is what you get. This is what happens when you get close to the glory. Okay?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Verse 22. You are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, The heavenly Jerusalem. That's where you've come to. Yes. The heavenly Jerusalem. Yes. To an innumerable company of angels. Mm-hmm. You're working with angels.
Yes.
To the general assembly. That's the people and the church of the firstborn. Those are people that have already gone and they're in heaven right now. They're the general assembly. There are people who made it to heaven. They did okay. They made it to heaven. Which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. So we're talking about the Father. He's the judge. He makes the decision. Satan, remember when Satan went to God and said, that Job guy. Remember that? Satan tries to come and accuse us. But God is the judge of all. And so, and then it says, to the spirits of just men made perfect. So you have people in heaven. The spirits of just men made perfect are those who apprehended what they were apprehended for. For example, the Apostle Paul. He did his calling, so he is a spirit of just men made perfect. You're going to be that.
Yes.
That's what you're going to be if you'll follow God.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, and so there's another group that you're working with that's different than the assembly. Now, and then it says to Jesus the mediator. Jesus is our lawyer.
Yeah.
Is this case locked up?
Yeah.
Our Father's the judge. Our big brother is the lawyer.
Hallelujah. It's done. Wow.
Praise the Lord. All right. And by the way, it says he is the mediator of the new covenant. So he's saying, excuse me, I might as well just come in right now, Your Honor. There's no case here. This man right here has a covenant with Almighty God. It's over. The blood. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. That's what. No, it's over. This woman right here, she's got a covenant. So, dismissed. Gone away. It's out. And then here's what I wanted to get to as we close here. The covenant and to the blood of sprinkling. That does what? The blood speaks. The blood speaks. It's so important. And he speaks better things than Abel. Danny started with Abel. I'm going to end with Abel right here and tell you. Abel's blood spoke revenge or vengeance.
Yeah.
Jesus' blood speaks mercy. Thank God for the blood that's speaking mercy. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the blood that speaks mercy. Thank you for mercy, Lord. We're all in the same boat. All of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory. But this blood has delivered us all now and forever. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for the blood. How precious is the blood? How precious. How precious. Thank you. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood, Lord. We don't take that lightly. We should always thank God for the blood. He paid with it. He paid with it. Whatever is the dearest thing that you would have. Well, let's just say, what would it be like if you had to offer up Bo to save the world? But Father did it for us. He gave us Jesus. And he had his blood poured out, filled. He was a vial filled with life that changed our lives forever. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. We're not a bunch of sinners in the hands of an angry God. We are sons of a loving Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors.